Coming to Northeast Wisconsin live from the Civic Media Studios and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor. Here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
All right, welcome back, everybody, to Hour 2 of Frank Herman's and the Mayor, because Johnny's on vacation.
We did an hour already?
Yeah, we did.
Wow. Seems like just got here late.
Yes, you were here late. No, yes, you were here on time, which is great. We had Brittany on. We talked a lot about the weather, and I had mentioned to you in the first half hour that I went strawberry picking yesterday at Sunny Hill Farm, and it was great. There were so many people out there. It's kind of like a family tradition, I think. And we talk about people should kind of get outside and be healthy. And really nothing healthier than picking strawberries and eating them.
Well, strawberries are God's gift to unhealthy people because they taste like candy and they look like candy and they're really good for you.
Yes. Yeah. And we have them right here. We asked Logan Bruntz.
Yep.
It's Bruntz. Okay. To come in and talk to us about that. You've been around since 79 at Sunny Hill Farms. How was this season?
The season was really good. Unfortunately, with that rain this past Saturday, with that three inches of rain, it kind of cut the season short by what we were kind of thinking around 10 days we could have extended it out to. But we're happy with what we were able to get off. We had a lot of customers come out yesterday, and we had a ton of berries. So we're blessed with what we had this year. We can't complain.
You know, Jim, I got to tell you, Logan came in. He's wearing his outfit, and he's got strawberry stains on it. So you know.
He's a working
this
man.
This guy is a working man. I just love it.
He's not driving some desk.
No.
That's good, Logan.
No,
you're out there with the people. So the families that come out there and pick, are you still doing that? You said it was a little bit of rain, but, I mean, you're busier than heck yesterday.
Yeah. We're still doing organized picking for today. Tomorrow we're supposed to get a little more rain, so we're not sure what the field's going to look like, but we're hoping that we can still let people out, kind of just go wherever you want, come out with your family, eat as much as you want in the field. We'll still have someone out there to check out, but take pictures, have fun, and just have a friendly family environment.
So that will be Wednesday, Thursday, Friday?
Yeah.
Okay. My man Finnegan was out there kind of telling us, so he's off duty. He doesn't have to tell people with the little flag, go here, go there. It's going to be a free-for-all?
Yeah, he'll just get to hang out in the truck and check people out and take their money.
Logan, you said eating in the field. Okay, so when you're picking, you can actually eat the strawberries?
Oh, please.
As much as you want.
We encourage it.
Yeah, kids were loving that. Wow. Kids love that. We did that when I was younger. Burtlers in Michigan. I don't even know if they're still around. You're too young for that. But that's where we used to go. But it's just a fun family thing to do. And now that we can do that, people have nothing to do maybe. The fireworks. Frank doesn't sing till 3 o'clock on Thursday. So we can go out and pick some strawberries.
And you can eat as much.
I did.
You can eat. It's like all you can eat buffet and you can take it home with you.
Well, right.
That is unheard of.
Logan, Jim had a great idea. Yeah. He said, put a scale, weigh them when they get in there and then weigh them on the way out and charge them for it.
That's one of our running jokes with a lot of the customers, but
you're okay with that.
Oh yeah. I don't want it anymore. I tell a lot of kids, you don't have enough stains on your shirt or on your face. You got to eat more.
It was funny yesterday out there listening, people come out with their own unit, right? Their own family. And they're all talking about different recipes and stuff, row to row. So I think it's a kind of a great community thing. Do you guys offer recipes?
We
or just ice cream?
We don't. I make our jam. So if you have any jam questions, you can always feel free to call in and ask or anything about that. But yeah, it's a great family environment. Finnegan is one of my cousins. So, and the other three are cousins and family friends. So it's
cool.
It's kind of, a family affair.
Just for people who may not know, I know you've been there since 79. Where are you located?
We're on 1922 Oak Road. We'll have, you'll see yellow signs to direct you where to go. Your GPS will take you to the farm itself, but the fields are in a different location. But they're right by the farm. You'll see the yellow signs.
Yeah, I ended up at the farm. Guy's like, go over there to the white tent. Okay.
No, I want to see your house. I'd like to come inside. I'd like the strawberries tractor. You picked already, please.
But
do you pick strawberries for people if they can't? Do you have?
Oh, yeah. We have pick stands around town. There's 7 locations.
Only 7? I see you guys everywhere.
we have a couple more for corn season, but it's hard to get that many strawberries picked to all our locations, okay. So we kind of condense a little.
Are strawberries picked by hand, or are we just doing that to feel important?
Oh, no, they're picked by hand. Oh,
even the ones that we in the store?
I believe so.
Wow. Wow. I mean,
can you eat all you want at the store too? Is that
Frank, no?
Oh, no.
Okay. You might be in trouble to do that.
But tell us a little bit about, you're not a 12-month season, but you got corn coming up. And how does that all work? Can we pick that, or
we pick all the corn for you. We send it out to our stands, and we've had a lot of success with our sweet corn. We never get tired of hearing how good it is. And that's kind of been, strawberries and corn has kind of been our staples, but we have other produce.
You guys
as well.
Like the sweet.
Oh, yeah. A lot of sugar.
That's good stuff. I got to tell you, with the corn stands,
yeah.
Is it BYOB, bring your own bag, too?
We have plastic bags, okay. And always put the silk end in first, or else you might end up with 10 cobs when you get home.
Oh, that's a trick. I put 13 in and say there's a dozen.
Oh, yeah, we get guys like you sometimes.
Okay.
Probably more than you think.
Can I count those cobs, sir?
What is the is the corn in the stands? I should know this.
Yeah. It's comes on a wagon or trailer.
But is it there now?
Oh, no, not yet.
Okay,
not yet.
When is the corn available for purchase?
It should be an earlier season. We're kind of thinking around the 18th to the 21st-ish, but you can always look on our Facebook. We post every day, and you can see there when it'll be ready.
All right. What else do you guys grow out there? You have 100 acres. Is it corn, strawberries?
Corn, strawberries, red potatoes, yellow potatoes, green beans, yellow beans, beets, carrots, cantaloupe, watermelon, onions, cucumbers, zucchini, kohlrabi.
I didn't hear hemp. I didn't hear that.
He's waiting for the laws to change.
Okay. And, my grandpa would roll over. Oh.
No, he probably wouldn't let go, right? Yeah, well, he probably wouldn't. Yeah. So you grow all that out there. What is available for people like me to pick? Just strawberries?
We do pick your own tomatoes, and sometimes we'll let people go pick who come and ask things here and there. But tomatoes are a big thing. Sugar snap peas are available for pick your own right now.
Because it sucks picking them to sell, right?
Oh,
but
yeah.
It really does.
But those are good. They were
making a hobby. Yeah.
But are they picking those now? Because I saw a bunch of them on the stand. Are those available right now to pick?
Oh, yeah. And the pre-picked ones, they go quick at the stands.
Right.
So if you can come out and pick your own, great.
Cause I don't want to rat out the guy working there, but he was eating quite a few.
Oh, well, yeah.
Oh, can you eat your own sugar snap peas when you pick them, too?
You can eat your own sugar snap peas. If you want to bite into a tomato in August, go for it.
What? Yeah, all right. Yeah. That, I think more people should, I think a lot of people do that.
It's a great family
but
activity.
It is, and it becomes a little bit of a tradition, and let's go, and it's not that expensive, easy parking, and I think that's cool. So the season right now is the strawberries. We're going to be getting into corn. How about these other things you rattled off? Are those this time of year? I grew up in the hood.
You're not a horticulturalist
Well, we'll have our Michigan blueberries start coming in on Thursday. They'll be available. We're planning on. But then kohlrabi is starting to get ready. And then typically zucchini, cucumbers kind of follow up. And then around the first week of August, pretty much all the stuff is ready.
And do you go to the farmers markets in Northeast Wisconsin?
We just are located at our stands around town.
Okay.
We used to go to the farmers markets, but not anymore. It's hard to get someone to consistently be out there, but we're happy that we can get the work for the stands.
Yeah, staffing. I mean, it seems like you got your family working, which is cool. And, you know, I got 3 kids that need jobs. They're 10 and 12.
What, I think that's called that's slave labor.
It's your family, though.
Well, is he going to sell you a couple acres? You can't. You're right. You can employ your own kids, but you can't employ. Employ a 12 year old.
Be 14, right?
Yeah, we might get in trouble.
Do you got the whole family working out there?
Oh, just about. At least, I mean, half the family. At least, I mean, my grandma's 82 this year, I believe, and my dad's 56, and then we got 4 cousins, 5 cousins out there. It's really cool to work with all of them. So
Logan Brunt's here, who is, you guys probably don't have titles, but I would consider you like a vice president of operations. You want to take that for today?
Yeah, I'll take that.
Okay, cool.
I'll take the VP position.
Take the VP. Family business, Sunny Hill Farm. The people who go out What about the kohlrabi? That is like one of my favorites. Is that good now? Or did you say August 1st? When can I do, well, I... do we pick those or do you pick them for us?
We'll pick them for you. They're about 5 to 6 days out. So pretty soon. We'll probably send it once we get a larger order of blueberries. We'll probably start sending kohlrabi and other various produce when they
to
come
the stands?
Out. Stands, yeah.
Okay.
You know, as VP of operations, what are you doing off season to prepare for the next year? I mean, you got a lot to plan for, right? Or do you just go on vacation from September to March?
My dad does a lot. He gets a lot of golf in.
Okay.
But he's the planner. He's the brains behind the operation for sure. And I just do whatever he tells me and try to make his job easier and learn what I can along the way. So one day he can retire and not work the rest of his life.
And you can golf.
And then I can golf.
Do you have your farm? Do you have animals? Do kids look at that? Do you have tours or anything? I mean, sometimes you go to these places and it's like, well, you can do this and that.
Not really. We have, there's a farm cat. It doesn't come out much, but we used to do dairy before the strawberry and sweet corn operation began, but otherwise we're just produce.
Has the state bird, the mosquito, been out a lot at your places?
Yeah.
With that water?
It comes out in the morning dew a lot.
Yeah. I thought mosquitoes were like down, like in terms of the population. Is that, am I wrong? I'm wrong on that.
I think with all that rain, they're bad.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Like I said, I'm in the hood.
Yeah.
We don't have any mosquitoes.
I don't know which is worse, Mino and the mayor for details on actual correct information, or if Frank and the mayor is worse. more rain. Those mosquitoes are down. Yeah. Okay, guys.
Yeah, we kind of make it up as we go along here. So go ahead, Frank.
Oh, no, I was just saying hi. There was 1 minute left. And, you know, I got to tell you, being in the farming business, there's a lot of work before. Are you tilling the fields? I mean, you got the implements and everything, or
are you
hiring that out?
No, that's all my dad.
That's
one of our cousins
helps
out. But I enjoy that a lot more because it's, you know, just sitting on the tractor and you don't really have much to worry about until the busy season starts and you got to start making quick decisions.
All right, so you got 7 locations around town, Sunny Hill Farm, right?
Mm-hmm.
We can stop in there. You're gonna have. But they're coming every day, every week with new things, right? Kohlrabi and all the other stuff you rattled off. We can still go and pick strawberries.
Absolutely.
With friends and family this week. We can go out there and, get out there and do that. It's in Suamico.
All you can eat.
And all you can take. So,
absolutely.
All right, Logan, have a great 4th of July. And like I said, I just think that's a great thing for people to do all ages. So thanks for sharing your farm, your strawberries with us. It's awesome.
Thanks for having me today.
Take care.
Thanks, Logan.
We'll be right back. All right, we're back. We are back. We were just saying goodbye to Logan. He is going back to the strawberry farm. He's got a lot of work to do out there.
And he's got a big strawberry stain. I like that. That means he's working. I want a strawberry stain. That means I was working.
The guy works. So Sunny Hill Farm. And even today, right, it's, what is it, 15 minutes away, tops? Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's not that far away from Green Bay. But,
for goodness.
Drive out there, pick out a couple
candy
flats. That's what's called a flat. They give you the flat, and they say, look, here's your roll, and go ahead and start picking. So I'm excited about the kohlrabi. Boy, he rattled off the stuff they grow out there, huh?
That's pretty fast. I didn't hear the one thing, though.
The weed. No, it's not legal yet, Frank.
Well,
hemp
is legal, isn't it?
I don't know. I don't do that stuff. I just, no.
I didn't say you did the stuff. I'm just saying.
It's called Mino when he gets back.
No. You did the stuff, though, didn't you?
CBD.
We're talking about the future. We're talking about the future. The future of Sunny Hill.
I love cucumbers. That's coming out. Those are my favorite.
Yes.
I love cucumbers.
You know what's funny? Yep. Our daughter, one of our daughters, is coming home with her significant other, and they like Thai food.
Yeah.
So I called him yesterday, and I'm like, what? I was looking at this recipe, coconut curry Thai food.
Wow.
Right?
Yeah.
Doesn't that sound good? Problem
with
that recipe, it's got, like, I always look at the number of ingredients, and that's like 21 ingredients.
There's a lot of ingredients.
I like the stuff with like 7 or 8.
Is it super spicy too that you're doing?
They haven't made it yet. I'll bring some for you.
Yeah.
Anyway, so but she goes, Dad, really wanted cucumbers.
Yeah.
So she did. That's
really?
Yeah, that's what she said. So that's pretty easy.
Oh, that's so good.
We'll do that. Have you, do you cherry pick, right?
Is there, yes.
Not only you cherry pick.
I cherry pick stuff too. But yes, in fact, today, 11 o'clock or noon, my kids are all coming to my office and we're going to my dad's house who lives on Alro Street here in Green Bay. He has two cherry trees. One's a Rainier cherry tree. One's a traditional, I can't remember, cherry tree, but they are ripe right now. And we got 2 5-gallon pails and we'll fill those things half full off of two trees.
And then how do you pit them?
With my mouth. I spit them at the kids.
Okay, that's fun. Yeah, that's a good game.
Yeah, you spit game pits.
In the evening?
No,
all
we have
over
a
the
pitter.
House.
We have a pitter that at home that we pit the cherries.
So we go cherry picking. I don't know the name of the place. But so you pick a bucket or two, yeah. Like a pail mm-hmm. of cherries. And I, as a kid, I hated pitting them. Just putting the stone on there
monotonous.
And then, or putting the cherry on there and then hitting that. Yeah. It's monotonous yeah. and your hand gets a little sore.
Yeah.
The guy's like, do you want us to pit them for you? I'm like, I don't have all day. He goes, no, we go put this thing through a machine. It's like a dollar.
Yeah.
I'm like, a dollar?
What?
It, did you, have you seen that machine?
No.
It's like a belt thing and it's just got all these like, I don't know how it, they like.
And the cherries look, they don't get smashed?
Nope. They line them up in yeah. like these, I guess dimples, right?
Yeah.
And they,
okay.
So, and I don't know how they get them so that the, they're straight up, but it's unbelievable. You take the cherries out and they're all pitted.
That is amazing.
Because we used to pit our own and yeah. we had.
That's where the pits come from. Isn't that the pits?
Really?
I don't know.
Okay. That made some sense to me for a little while.
Because it sucks.
We had, we do our own pitting. We go yeah. cherry picking when we were little kids and we had them on senior over, you yeah. know, for mm-hmm. Dinner and we had cherry pie and. He had a few.
He got the pit.
He did.
Isn't that the pits?
That was the pits. It was
yeah.
embarrassing too.
Like,
so,
oh,
but
my
no.
God.
All right.
Gotta replace.
Okay,
tooth.
So honey, Sonny, we're gonna go out and pick up those kohlrabi. Said next week, and
nice.
The corn.
Yeah.
So that'd be good. All right.
Yeah.
Do you have corn roast? Do you cook that on the grill? How do you guys cook your corn there at the Herman's house?
Here's what we do: you wrap it in wax paper and you put it in the microwave for 1 minute, and it's done. That is the easiest way to do. Because you can leave it in. I like to take it out, wrap it in wax paper, 1 minute, and it's perfectly done. I'm just saying. I do it on the grill also, but it takes a long time.
And it's messy.
And it's, yeah.
It is messy on the grill.
Yeah.
Because you have to take a little bit of the husk, the green.
Yeah.
And then you got to take some of that hair, whatever that's called, the tassel,
yeah.
whatever we said
yeah.
that was. You take that out, but it still burns, and then there's the there's black all over the place. But.
Do you ever
something
see those big
that.
Corn roasters that they have? Like, at
love
a,
them.
Oh, that corn is the best tasting corn because it's a little burnt
it,
sometimes.
So that,
yeah.
It's
big
where,
dip of butter, you just.
I used to do that.
Can.
I used to have fundraisers
yeah.
corn roast
yeah.
in August. And that is the easiest thing. You rent the machine.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody buys them, but you rent them and you just lay the corn on there. And this guy used to donate the corn because he,
yeah.
and you just lay it on there and it one full circle and it's perfect. Like I'm sure you got to set the temperature
yeah.
to the type of corn.
Sure.
People know how to do that, but
it's
and
perfect.
They take
yeah.
it off and then you get the coffee can with the butter and salt.
And you put water in the bottom
right.
and butter on top.
Yeah.
It's so ingenious.
It is.
And then you salt it.
And that is not. Very expensive
nope.
to feed a group of people. So.
And you can make some good money charging $3 a cob. Did you ever have field corn accidentally? I did. I picked field corn.
What is
corn.
That?
Field corn is what they
feed the cows.
And I thought, hey, I'm going to go pick my own corn. I think it was 16. And I pulled up to a farmer's field. I picked some. It's
you
not
stole
good.
It?
It's not good.
But
no,
it's very
no,
mealy.
I left
and it's not very fresh tasting.
It's,
and yeah.
Yeah. It
it's mealy.
Yeah.
What?
No, I taped a dollar bill to the stalk.
To go back and get it. That was terrible corn.
Yeah. I had 35 cents waiting for me when I got back.
I did.
Field
what's
corn.
What's the difference?
Field corn is what they feed.
I understand
it's
that.
Different
but what's.
Now.
So it's the seed, right?
It is the seed. It was perfected over years of.
To make it sweeter.
Of Thanksgivings when they first were.
You don't know what you're talking
I
about.
Do. I do know what I'm talking about. Yeah.
All right, so now I'm not missing John so much because you're right back to where he's just making it up as he goes along. So, hey, you know who we have coming in here?
Who?
This is going to be a, this Peter and Tracy Flukey.
Yeah.
They, I don't know if you've been listening the last couple of weeks, but they're the couple that started here right in Green Bay and they took their tandem bike all the way to New York City. And we followed them. We checked in with them weekly. they're going to be telling us what's going on, and they're back now. I don't know what their next trip is, but that's going to be fun to catch up with them. And a lot of people followed them on, what is that, a blog? I didn't do it, but you know, yeah. you follow people yeah. on, online. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. And then this Joe Furlow's coming in the second hour, a third hour.
Yeah, I like
you know
Joe.
Him?
You I know Joe. Yeah.
That
yeah.
guy's awesome.
I've been trying to get in the Grand for years. Now, that was my chance.
Yeah.
They just announced their season.
Oh, so we're oh, not yeah. there next year.
I didn't see you. I didn't see. But I saw a couple open dates. But we'll talk to okay. Joe about that. Because
I need to get down in the Fox River Valley more. So
that Oshkosh has just got it going on. God, we went down there. We took a tour with Pat Tracy, who is their kind of their Jeff Merkus, Brian Johnson. Yep, you know, they're just their VCB guy.
Yep.
You know, you can't get a better spokesperson than him. He had to run for mayor. I mean, that guy is just so excited about everything they've done there. But you know, it's a 20-year process to get where they are. But it's a very clean city. And the catalyst of that is the Grand.
That's beautiful.
That theater. Oh, it's unbelievable what they've done there.
I got a story for him when he comes in about the theater.
Okay. We're going to talk about that. Mm-hmm. Flukies are coming in. Are you a big biker? Because they might ask you.
I do. I have a Trek bike. It's my,
you have
it's
a
my
Trek?
Third one. Yeah. And I bought... My wife and I, these bikes 8 years ago, spent the money. We bring them in, get them serviced every year. Mine is the only one that gets any work. My wife, hers is still hanging up this summer. I'm like, honey, we got to take that down.
Yeah.
You know, I love my bike. I bring it to town and I buzz around downtown.
Yeah.
You know?
And the trails are so nice
they
here.
Really are.
Are you, do you live on the trail?
Yes.
See, he doesn't miss a beat.
He is great. Did you have this album when you were growing up? I just would stare at the poster. Anyway, yes.
I think I might
Fat
have.
Fat Bottom Girls. What a great, great album.
All right.
Anyway.
All right. The Flukes are going to be here. We're going to talk a little bit about biking, not just the exercise, but really what they saw along the trail, that along their route that
I'm
we could bring back to Green Bay. These guys are awesome.
Yeah.
All right. Hermans.
It's okay.
Sorry.
I love
Hermans
it.
And the Mayor. Please. We're going to be right back.
I don't believe in Peter Pan, Frankenstein, or Superman.
From the Apple Store or Google Play Store, and text the studio directly, all from the Civic Media app. Download it today. Now, once again, here's Mino and the Mayor, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
All right, welcome back. Second half of hour two. This is fun. Mino is not in, but Frank Hermans from Let Me Be Frank Productions is the co-host. Frank, I love having you here. Did you see this text that came in? Yeah,
check it out.
You can read that if you want.
Okay, sweet corn turns into field corn after it matures. I did not know this.
We were talking about, we had the guy on from Sunny Hill, and he was talking about, well, we didn't ask him. He would have known that. But after he left, we started talking about when Frank went and stole some corn from a farmer's field. Now, you did taped a dollar bill on there.
I did.
But it was, it obviously was matured corn. Right? Because you said it wasn't very sweet.
It was way too matured because it was horrible.
All right. Well, someone who's seen corn close up.
And I went, after I ate it. So. Okay.
That's pretty good.
Thank you.
All right. As I said, I was doing this like segue about someone who's seen corn close up because of the way they travel.
There you go.
Wasn't that good?
There you go.
If you wouldn't have interrupted me, it would have been great.
Do it again.
So, no, we're good. We're good. We're just going to go right to the guests. Peter and Tracy Flukie, who I think those of you who listen and those of you who read the paper know who they are. From WeBike.org, these are two of the healthiest people in the community, I would think, and just got finished biking from Green Bay to New York City.
Wow.
And how long was your trip?
It took us 29 days, and we had 5 days off the bike. And we averaged about 55 miles a day, put in about 1,500 miles total.
How many hours is that a day?
You know, it varies anywhere from...
Probably four to six and a half, something like that.
Biking 4 to 6 hours?
Yeah, that's butt time on the bike.
Yeah.
I like that, butt time. So you're going to...
First time ever I've said that.
All right.
Butt time.
Butt time.
So you're going like 11 to 13 miles per hour, right?
Right.
I'm doing math in my head. I don't know if that's right.
It was really interesting on this trip because we had a lot of big cities. And when you're going through the big cities, lots of stop signs, you know, slow moving traffic. So we were averaging probably 12 miles per hour.
Okay.
But then we'd get out into Pennsylvania and we had those insane hills.
Yeah.
Guess what our average speed was?
What?
12 miles an hour.
Really?
It's like.
Because it's got to go up.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's really interesting to see how different things affect our speed.
You know, we talk about biking and we're trying to get more people to bike. I mean, in the state of Wisconsin, right? They have this gold, silver, bronze recognition. And the guy that really got that going was the mayor of Madison,
Dave Slavacek. No.
You're very, very close to that. Dave.
Yeah.
Mayor Dave.
Mayor. Yeah.
There you go.
Whatever it's called.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he had a...
Cheslevich.
That's what it was. Yeah. And he had dogs.
It's Polish.
and he... I don't know. He would travel quite a bit. I mean, okay. He was quite a... He biked all over. And anyway, he started this whole recognizing communities, and he had... Trek was a big... obviously a big supporter of his. And Madison is a gold star because they really focused on it. But... I mean, you guys are elevating the awareness of bicycling, I think, in Brown County. I mean, I think a lot of people know who you are. What did you learn, or did you see anything along the way? I mean, 30 days on a bike, did you see anything that maybe we could do here, or, I don't know.
Absolutely. I mean, some of the big cities had some amazing accommodations for bicycles and pedestrians. New York City has actually taken away motor vehicle lanes and made them into pedestrian areas and bike lanes. So yeah, we have a lot to learn. We can make our community, Northeast Wisconsin, that much more bicycle and pedestrian friendly to encourage people to get out and educate them and get them out on their bikes.
When you plan these trips, I mean, you're looking for the lanes, I mean, on the highways, because some of those state highways, hey, I live in Brilliant. Bikers are going down Double P all the time.
I know.
Right? Yep.
And there's just so much area.
Yeah.
It's interesting. So the three things that we look at is we look at the width of the lane.
Okay.
So that's whether there's a bike lane or even just if it's, you know, 14 feet wide as opposed to 12 feet.
Okay.
We look at how much traffic there is and then the speed of the traffic. Those are the three things. And depending on how you put them together, it makes it either very nice for bicycling or it makes it horrible. Yeah. So. Yeah.
I was a little bit, when you left and we said goodbye, you know, good luck. I was a little worried about you, not because of your physical health and but I don't think vehicles, trucks especially, it's hard to see you. And that bike's so low. I'm so glad to see you back here.
It's a tandem bike.
It is. Yeah. They didn't bring tandems in today. Yeah. They brought their own bikes in because they're sick of being
you
so close to each
here?
Other.
You bike here?
They
do.
They always
me?
Do.
That's awesome.
We had them here in the winter one time. They came in the night. It was dark out. and they came in with their lights on. I'm like, man. How was the safety of it?
Yeah, it was remarkably good. And in the big cities, we had that slow, congested traffic. So that's really not that hard. We just line up with all the other slow, congested traffic, and that's fine. Okay. On the big roads, the highways, we almost always had really good shoulders. And the interesting thing, though, was in Pennsylvania, narrow, twisty, turny roads. But the thing that I hadn't thought about is around here, we're not used to that kind of driving, but that's what they do all day, every day there. So as long as we made ourselves visible, the flashing taillight, bright colored clothing, the motorists were looking for obstructions on the road because they might have an Amish cart out there. They might have farm equipment. So as long as we're doing our part, they're used to looking. And it was very easy. And the really cool thing, if you've ever been out in farm country or in hilly country, what you'll do is you can't see over the crest of the hill. But as soon as you can, you give the car behind you a wave and let them know so that they can pass and move around. Once we started doing that, it was just bang, bang, and everybody was really happy. It was a lot of fun, actually.
Yeah, they were really good about either waiting behind us until they could clearly see or until there was a clear path, or passing us really wide. You know, they'd go around us and give us lots of space. So Pennsylvania was great. The drivers were just amazing out there. We wish that some of that would come to Wisconsin because, you know, some of the roads out here, people pass really close, and they don't wait.
What you should do, I'm going to tell you what to do, but you should send a letter to the governor because we love getting nice letters. Not that I was a governor, but even when people say, look, I was in your city and we loved this or that about it. Something like, I guess we do that. But sometimes you don't think about that, you know? Yeah. And they just love the cleanliness of the city. I used to love getting those because you don't really think about that. We got a clean
you
city.
Don't.
But and you get a letter
I'm
from
I'm going to send you a letter. What a great time I had.
Send it to
there.
Eric. Okay. It's still good. It's still good. But you know what I mean?
We always say that biking and walking are sort of like the canary in a coal mine. So for us going into communities that we've never been in before, you know, we can pretty quickly assess, you know, what they're doing for their own people based on how easy it is for us on a bicycle to find the resources we need. If we can't find food and water, if it's not safe for us to get down the street or cross a road, the people that live there all day, every day, they're suffering worse than we are.
You know what I'd like to talk about? You got the tandem machine that you're using. You yourself are a machine.
Yeah.
And you
say
you know, 4, 5, 6 hours a day. What are you doing to get your body prepared for these trips? Because with the quads, with the hamstrings, with, you know, you're using a lot of the butt time, as you call it. How are you preparing yourself for these long trips?
You know, we start training about 6 months before.
Okay.
I mean, we're active all the time, but we do a regular training regime, I guess, 6 months before. What we eat is huge on the trip and before we go. When we need the carbs during the day so we can go, and we have Clif bars and we have different energy bars on board. We have Gatorade, water. And then at the end of the day, the thing that's really important is getting protein on board. Yeah. So we stop at the end of the day at a gas station and pick up, you know, cheese or yogurt or
hard-boiled eggs.
Yep. Okay. And just get that protein, because especially when you're going day after day after day, your body breaks down and you need that protein to rebuild the muscle.
I think one of the other points, though, for everybody in your everyday life, I very seldom take an elevator. I almost always go find the stairs. We biked down here today when we could have driven, and I commented to Tracy, for us doing 6 miles, it's not even particularly noteworthy. But when you have ridden, you know, 75, 80, 100 miles, and you've got 6 more miles to go at the end of the day, we know we can do that because we do it all the time. That's routine for us. So we're taking all these little things that we do all day, every day. And what it does is the cumulative effect allows us to do really neat things like, you know, ride our bike to New York City.
Right. So I don't know that people, and a lot of people follow you. I was surprised because I go out or, oh, yeah, that's great. The Flukies that you have
on there. I kept telling you this was a thing.
Yes, and they people really enjoyed that. But for those, I mean, not everyone's going to go to New York or you. Did you go down to New Orleans too? Or where did you?
We biked all of the Mississippi River.
Right.
1 year. We've done the northern tier of the United States. We've also done historic Route 66.
Wow. But the what you said is akin to, even if you just bike around town, you see more.
It's a different perspective.
It's a different perspective. People,
right?
It mentioned, you know, when we go to mayor school, they tell you to walk your city. Don't just drive around. Walk
mayor school.
Yeah.
What's that? Wait, it's a convention. You go to how to be.
Okay. Wow. I didn't know there was mayor school.
So, but it was that was one of the things, which is really, really true if you think about it. You know, you walk or bike.
So you know that I used to be a park ranger in Minnesota, and one of the things I would do when I had a new property that I was trying to get familiar with, the first thing I'd do is get in my squad car, and I would drive everywhere I could on road. And then I'd start sneaking through alleys and things like that, but then I would hop on the ATV and start going to those places. Then I would take the bike. Then I would walk. And it's amazing. Sometimes, you know, there's a road over here, and, you know, half a block away, there's another road. But you didn't know they were that close until you went out and walked that day. So we know all those little sneaky places that you can cut through on your bike here to, you know, make it more preferential to go places by bike.
That's great as a teenager. You know where to park, you know?
Absolutely.
You gotta find those places. When you're biking, do you guys have headsets where you can talk to each other?
No, we've talked about getting them because our hearing is getting worse as we grow older. But we haven't tried them yet. But a lot of tandem riders do use them. Okay. And it's easier to talk because, especially when it's really windy, it's very difficult to hear each other. And we use a lot of hand signals sometimes, or taps on the back, or he'll, you know, do signals or one word things so that we catch each other. But yeah, it is tough sometimes to hear each other on the tandem.
And communication's weird too, because so much communication, like you and I are looking at each other right now, and you're kind of going, oh, Peter wants to say something.
Correct.
Tracy's behind me. I can't see her, and she can't see my facial expression. So it's very interesting.
Speaking of that, are you always in the front, or do you guys?
Tracy can be the captain. She can ride in front.
Okay.
Typically, the bigger, more experienced, stronger person goes in front.
Okay.
But we're fairly even in ability. She just likes to be on the back. I like to be on the front.
Okay.
All right, we're talking with Peter and Tracy Flukey here, who are, I don't know, what would we? You got to be the
biking
premier
gurus,
right? The biking gurus of the state of Wisconsin, if not more than that. And there at WeBike.org, just finished a trip from here to New York, and we're just talking about that biking. You don't have to go to New York just to bike here. How would you rate our community, Brown County, as a bicycle friendly? You talked about some of the drivers, very respectful out in Pennsylvania. How are we?
So the three things that we typically evaluate on are education, engineering, and enforcement. So when we moved to northeastern Wisconsin back in 1993, there wasn't a single lane of recreational trail or bike lane. And now people are complaining because the East River Trail and the Fox River Trail don't connect, right? We're doing a big rehab project on the Fox River Trail. So our infrastructure is coming along. Having said that, though, it is very difficult for somebody from out of town to get from one place to another. The education, if we don't tell people how we want them to act and behave and what's safe, why should we be surprised if they don't do that? And then the enforcement, the biggest problem we have is speed. Because the faster people go, the more dangerous it is for people that walk and bike.
Wow. But don't you think trails is kind of the answer to that? I mean, shouldn't we invest more money in bike trails? Or is that just the infrastructure too expensive?
You know, bike trails are great, but if you want to commute to work, is there a trail that's going to take you to work? Probably not. You're going to have to ride on the road at some point. And the thing that we need to remember in our transportation system is that bicyclists and walkers want to get to the same place that motor vehicle drivers do. Right. You want to get to the gas station. You want to get to the library. And a lot of our roads don't allow that safely.
Quick question. Economics of biking. Of course, we're saving money with gas. But for you, sponsorships, how do you get this going?
You know, we have.
Or do you open your pocketbook?
We have had sponsorships on our last two of our three trips. And it's been great just to have that little extra money to do our thing.
We're,
but
we're going to go to a quick break. I want to talk to you about, so we talked about the infrastructure, the enforcement, but I want to talk about amenities, things that you'd like to see, some of the restaurants. I think we're doing a pretty good job here in Green Bay. We're going to be right back. We're going to talk a little bit more with the Flukies about biking, not just to New York and back, but right here in Brown County. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Frank Herman's and the Mayor, because Johnny's on vacation, and we are here with...
he's biking.
He did buy a bike.
He
but,
did? Has it been used?
No, yes.
Well, he has, and then this alludes to your enforcement. He went on the bike trail and got a fine because he didn't have his sticker.
Didn't have a trail pass.
Or a trail pass.
Oh, come
trail
on, pass. Jim. Okay. Yes.
A trail pass.
Yes.
Total truth. I was at our daughter's a couple of days ago. Yeah. I was over on the east side. And I went out, I think I went up Broadway in downtown to get over to Baird Street. And then I was going to come back on the trail. And I was about to go that way. And I went, I forgot my trail pass. So I went back the same way I came.
I didn't know that.
I don't know that that's... Okay, well, whatever. We'll let that go. But
is there a siren on those cars that or the bikes that pull you over?
No, I think they just sit in a chair.
Oh, is that what they do?
Yeah, a lot of people turn around. Okay. But I mean, they just sit in a chair and it's like...
Hey, in all fairness, the only way that we fund that facility, though, is through those trail passes. Okay. So if we like nice things, that's how we pay for
it. I don't know if that's totally... there are a lot of places that don't have fees to use their trails.
Right.
So how do they fund
it? It's part of the...
Yeah, it's part of the state trail system, but... Brown County doesn't put any funding into that trail besides the state trail passes and the percentage that they get.
They've got the 0.5% sales tax that brings in $30 million. Right, the hotel and room tax, which brings in $3 million a year.
Right.
Don't you think a percent of that could go to
trails? And they did allocate.
That's part of tourism.
Right. They did allocate some for some improvements to the Fox River Trail from the sales tax recently.
But there's no routine funding that goes
into. There's routine maintenance
and upkeep. Need a sustained funding mechanism, and that sales tax, they extended it 28 years. So I would think that someone should have said, well, let's put 2% towards...
Honestly, it's kind of a free lunch right now. The amenity that that provides to this community and the fact that we don't have a stable funding source for that.
Yeah.
Brown County Parks does an amazing job
with the funding
very,
that they
very
have.
Little.
Yeah. Right.
Grants they get and all that stuff.
But I don't think they should stress about that. I think that's such a great amenity that's something like we should fund, like
absolutely
transit.
Yes.
So
the return on investment is incredible.
Oh,
well,
goodness.
From the health state,
yes.
From every
but
standpoint.
Tell me about the, if you go along the trails, is there something that you saw, like a cool coffee shop or showers or
a bear?
You know, when we got in, When we got into Indiana, we were surprised at how many rails to trails there were. I mean, we were on them for sometimes 30 miles, and they were amazing trails. And the thing that was really cool about them was the communities along it had totally embraced the trails.
Yeah.
So they had services when you got off. They had, you know, coffee shops, like you said, restaurants. They had places to stay. And they encouraged people to come in and partake
culture,
in the community.
Right? It's a culture. Totally. Yeah. Bicycle tourism, somebody described it to me one time, is you have all these gold nuggets that are washing down your river. And if you don't do something to capture those, they just go down the river to the next community.
Right. And so you were gone for 29 days on a tandem, some camping, some good weather, some bad weather. Now you're back. Is life a little... I don't know. Now you got a bed.
Yeah. It is weird.
You got to talk now.
Yeah.
So tell me about that.
Yeah. So when I was a kid, I spent a little time in Honduras and Argentina, and my parents used to talk about culture shock. And it's a real thing. So, you know, our lives were eat, sleep, bike, repeat. I mean, for a month, it's a really neat way to give your brain a break. But then you come home and all of a sudden the grass needs to get cut and all those bills you accumulated need to get paid. And then all of a sudden you're looking at your empty calendar, which feels kind of good, but kind of empty. Yeah. So you start doing stuff and then all of a sudden you're juggling, you know, appointments again. So, yeah, it's a little weird.
Yeah.
Kind of a nice break, though. I mean, you're kind of really away. You know, Honduras, that's not, I don't know if that would be that enjoyable. Or maybe it was. Point I'm trying to make is, like, you were enjoying yourself on this bike ride, and now you're back. Do you wish you were back on your bike?
You know, it's nice to be back home. Just like when you go on vacation, it's nice to get home and be in the familiar spot. But you do miss it. You miss that travel and people you meet and the things you see and the challenge of it.
Yeah.
I mean, every day I get up when we're on our trips and I'm excited to get on the bike and what are we going to experience day? It is. It's very cool because you don't get that in your life all the time.
No.
Today, what am I going to experience today? Because it's kind of the same old thing. But when you're on your bike and you're touring, every day is an adventure. That's what we say. When you're on your bike, the adventure comes to you. You don't have to go find it.
Is there a sense of fulfillment when you finish your euphoric a little bit?
It's huge.
Yeah.
Well, there's also a sense of loss, right?
Yes.
Because you've reached your goal. And, you know, I think we're the kind of people that once you reach your goal, that goal doesn't count anymore. Once a show ends, it's like you're on to the next show, right?
Totally. You're right. Yeah. You're exactly. Yeah. If you do community theater, for instance, and you do a show and you don't do another show for a couple of years, that's really hard.
Yeah.
It's really hard. So, but if you got something else planned,
Right. Yeah. What's next? What's planned?
He's looking at me. No, I don't have anything planned right now, but we talked about maybe doing something in the fall. Not as long as New York, but maybe trying to do something else in the fall.
So our first three major trips, I drove those. That was my idea. It was my bucket list. Tracy was right there. But then we were doing an interview, I don't know, a year ago, and somebody said, "What's next?" And Tracy said, "Well, we're going to bike to New York." And I looked at her and I went, "Oh, now I know." So I was waiting for that moment again here. Yeah. Got any suggestions? We're open.
This is what
around
I think you should do.
No,
that would be good. But you could lead a group because you've got the talent and you could lead a group. And if you want to get people like Frank, go to Branson.
There you go.
Nice.
Don't you guys love that place?
Ozarks,
The Ozarks would be great, but I'm thinking, the Ozarks.
We could ride to Branson. We could write songs along the way.
Yeah. I like this.
And there could be a new show.
Yeah. I can't do 55 miles a day, though. I'm worried about that.
That could be the title of the song.
That's right.
55 miles on the road, and I'm going to make it home tonight.
Well, you could take him down to Memphis, do an Elvis tour. There's a lot of stuff you could do.
Oh, yeah.
And how about that guy that does the drive-ins?
Oh, that dude, he's not in as great a shape as these two.
That's what I'm saying. You could do something like that, lead a tour, I don't know what it would be, but I got a friend of mine who bought that guy's book, and him and his wife are just driving to those drive-ins. That's their summer vacation.
Oh, that's cool.
Think that's a good idea?
They should bike.
I know. Yeah. You should see him. He's a great guy, but he's really looking forward to that. I just think this is great. You're such a good example to Brown County, and I think to bring the ideas back, Tracy, you as an elected official, and of course, Peter, you know everybody in the community. If there's things we should do, we got to kind of go to the Green Bay what is it called? The Bicycle? There's a...
Active Community Alliance?
Yeah, but there's another organization, too, that used
to
come.
The Bicycle Collective, maybe?
WeBike.org?
Yes.
Well, that's where that's their that's website. But anyway, yeah. to get behind something, if we need to get more share lanes or more amenities along the trail. But yeah, thanks for what you're doing. This is fun. I know a ton of people followed you, as did we. And let us know when you have your next trip. Come in here and announce it here. We would love to be part of that.
I got way more questions.
Yeah, I know.
I'm going to ask them off.
We got all right. We're going to take a break here. We're going to be right back. We have got Joe Furlow coming in from the Grand in Oshkosh. Frank Herman's in the mayor.
I got me 10 forward gears on a Georgia overdrive. I'm taking little white pills and my eyes are open wide. I just passed a Jimmy in a white. I've been a passing